You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
I was repairing, fixing, replacing the machines that kept the babies alive.
So why do you think God's hand had you at that particular place? It seems to somehow fit into your story, but I'm not quite sure yet how.
Well, being an addict, I was wanting to help people some kind of way, and I didn't know what to do. I was in AA and sponsoring people by that time, and I thought AA was church because, that kind of became my church. I had a Christian AA group and the Christian sponsors. I went to church some, but AA was my main church. It was a slow way back for me, coming back to God, if you understand what I'm saying, because I was still very angry at him at this point. But I watched those babies die every day, and some of them were no longer than 3 or 4 inches. And I watched their distraught families that were, strung out, coming in, screaming and hollering, carrying on. And one morning I woke up, Rhett, and there was no way I could go back to the hospital and watch another baby die. I fell on my face in my living room and I said, God, if you're real and if you can still hear me, you've got to do something for me because I can't go back. If I go out that door today, I know I'm going to be drunk before I ever make it to the hospital. And about that time, the phone rang and it was Dr. Martin Cleveland, who worked out of Adrian Rogers Church there in Memphis. And he and I were doing raffle groups together in the hospital, which they dealt with people that were duly diagnosed. And he was training me how to do small groups, and I was really enjoying that. But he said, "What's going on with you today?" And I said, "I'm having a nervous breakdown." He goes, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well, I said I'm hearing voices, and all kind of stuff." He goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, I fell on my face, Doc, and I told God that he's going to have to do something in my life, and I couldn't watch any more babies die. I didn't want to be drunk, so I'm just going to stay here till something happens." And I said, "I heard this voice say, if you're going to save the children, you have to start with your parents." I really freaked out because I thought I was having an LSD flashback or something, No one ever told me.
You heard an audible voice?
I heard it. It felt audible.
Audible in here, yeah.
It felt audible. I looked around my house to see if somebody was in there. And there was nobody there. I thought that I was having some kind of, flashback from my drug days or something. And Dr. Martin laughed. And I said, "What's so funny?" He goes, "Son, ever since I met you, I knew you had the calling of God on your life." He said, "But I was afraid to talk to you about God because you still had so much anger toward God in the church." He said, "But I've been asking God to speak to you." And I said, he said, "God just spoke to you. Now, what are you going to do about it?" I said, "I don't know, but I got to do something." And then he helped me find a program down in West Palm Beach that would train me. And he asked me to go down and just check them out, see what would happen about getting involved in addiction recovery ministry. The same time, my mother was living in Boca, and she had called me and said, "One of your friends is in a program in West Palm Beach. If you'll come down and visit me, you can go see him." It was the same program.
Wow.
So I knew then that God was up to something. So I came down in 93, ended up resigning from the hospital. I gave all my stuff away, all my furniture. I came to Florida with nothing but my car and my clothes.
Why'd you give everything away?
I didn't have time to sell it. And I had a bunch of needy brothers and sisters and people in AA that needed stuff. So I just gave it away. It didn't mean anything to me.
Florida.
I came to Florida in 1993, and I've been here ever since working in addiction recovery ministry.
1983?
93.
93.
Yes, sir.
That's the year that I arrived in Florida. July 4th, 1993.
So I had not been through inner healing and dealt with the trauma of my past and all that, so I had struggled. I struggled in my relationship with God. I struggled believing some of the things that the Bible said about me. I ended up at Dunklin in 1997. Mickey Evans had become my friend, and he was coaching me and telling me that I needed to get out of the ministries that I was in, that I was going to burn myself out, that I needed more training, I needed more healing. So in 1997, I went to Dunklin, and I was at Dunklin up until 2 years ago.
Wow.
And that's where I received my healing. That's where I received my real training in the ministry and inner healing. And
How did Dunklin get started? Was it started by that fellow you just mentioned?
Yes. He started Dunklin in 1962. He was a Baptist preacher out of Indiantown. He had just established a new church, and God called him to minister to drug addicts and alcoholics because he grew up in an alcoholic home, and the Lord told him to help the parents so the children wouldn't have to grow up the way he did.
That's the same thing that God told you.
Exactly.
You go and get to the children, you got to go through the parents.
Exactly.
Now, where did he get the, where'd the dough? I always am amazed at these things. How many acres was Dunklin? It's still in business, right? How many
Yes,
acres?
Sir. They are. They're celebrating, I think, their 63rd or 64th anniversary. They're on around 280 acres.
How did they get that?
Well, according to Brother Mickey, God gave it to him. But the reality of the story is that his mother and father-in-law sold their property in Okeechobee and made the down payment on the property. Later on, one of the local ranchers wrote him a check for exactly what he needed to finish paying the property off.
Like hundreds of thousands or how much?
I have no idea. Land was very, very cheap, especially if you're buying swamp land, which all that was back then. I think he paid like something like $17 an acre for it.
Well, I can tell you that I was out there with Mickey when I first came to Florida 30 years ago. Maybe that's where you and I met. We probably were a lot thinner and...
yes, sir. Definitely that.
Me too, let me tell you. But I will tell you this, that I sang out there. And I'm not going to go into details, but there's a lot of people that attempt to sing for the Lord, but they don't realize that they're show people or they're grabbing the attention. I have a special calling that I got from the Lord himself, not from man. I don't need the approval of man.
Yes,
I was
sir.
In a prison singing to six ministers when I got the anointing from above. But when I was out at Dunklin, I won't go into details, but let me tell you, I don't make this stuff up. I'm not some TV evangelist trying to rob people of their money. I'm saying I was out at Dunklin, and I know that the Spirit of God fell upon me. And there was a presence out there with that guy, Mickey. And now, of course, later in life, I realized I wished I'd spent more time with Mickey. What a man of God. I wonder what it was like when he stepped into glory, huh?
It had to be a great celebration, that's for sure. He was my spiritual father for 25 years, and I still miss him greatly. But he taught me a lot of lessons that I'll never forget.
Now, are you still working out there at Dunklin?
No, sir. I retired from there and started the Hugs Ministry 2 years ago.
Now, what is Hugs Ministry, H-U-G-G?
It stands for Healed Under God's Graces, and we're a counseling teaching ministry. We teach in the churches, and we bring in church people that are dealt with childhood trauma, divorce, grief issues, their core belief systems, dealing with the cycles of defeat in their life.
Wow. Where do you live?
I live in Stuart.
Stuart, all the way down there, huh?
Yes, sir. I live in Stuart now, and we do our counseling, a lot of it, out of the Treasure Coast Church of God. But right now we have classes that we're teaching at the Church of God in Okeechobee. We also have a class running at Calvary Chapel in Fort Lauderdale. But our classes are 12 weeks long, and we deal with, like I said, the core belief systems that block us from really walking in the freedom God wants us to walk in. We deal with generational curses and soul ties and judgments and vows and the unforgiveness issues in people's lives. Basically, we're a soul cleaning company.
soul cleaning.
You know, we help people get their soul clean so that they can have a pure relationship with the Lord.
I like that one. I'm going to put that down on my phone. Soul Cleaning Company. I like Soul Cleaning Company. I like that a lot, man.
People get saved, and a lot of the religious circles will say, well, you just throw a blanket over all that stuff and say that's all under the blood. But they still have reactions. They still have belief systems. They still have hurts and things and reactions to things that they don't understand. And that's because of judgments and vows and things of that nature and that they've made through life and unforgiveness issues.
And you said back at 9, you had a connection with the Lord. I remember back at 9, I had, of course, my father was killed at the age of when I was 5 in a car accident. And my mother had married this man for 6 years from the time I was 5 to 12. But this man would drink every night, even though he was a vice president of IBM, very wealthy, functioning, they say, functioning alcoholic. But he would come into the room drunk and tell me I would never amount to anything or be anything. Just all this spewing, all this negativity. I wouldn't say that to you as an adult male, let alone a little boy that's 7, 8, 9 years of age. And so I've had my own problems with forgiveness. How do you take somebody like you, who was essentially raped when you were 9, abused, and by the other boys, and no one would believe you, and then God, you felt really let you down. I feel that maybe the Lord could have been there for me, protecting me. How did you come to a place of healing, forgiveness, restoration?
Well, that's I was in a group of men that had been abused like me. It was a special inner healing class for those that had sexual trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all dealing with our issues, and the counselor at that time carried me on what we call an inner journey or inner prayer journey and led me back to the day that it happened. And in the eye of the Spirit, in the eye of my heart, I could see myself there. I could see the whole thing again, just like I was there. And I asked the Lord, where were you? The question I'd always wanted to ask and get an answer to.
Yeah, where were you?
And Jesus said, I was there with you the whole time. And that made me angry.
Angry. Why'd you allow that?
Exactly. I asked him, why would you allow them to do that to me? He said, son, that's something you have to understand. I give free will to every man. I can't take free will away. And if men choose to hurt men, which is something I wish they would never do, but they choose to do that out of their own free will. And I can't go against the free will of man.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America's new clinic is now open in Port St. Lucie. Do you suffer from poor sleep? This can be a root cause of Alzheimer's. And Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America has tools to address sleep issues. Also, in the observation